I called this, what I want to share with you this morning, I called this learning to become like Jesus. Because that's our goal. You ever wonder where we're going? Oh, I know where we're going. Our goal is to become like Him. That's where we're heading. And little by little, little and little, here a little, there a little, growth is added, there's depth and maturity, and you get to know the Lord, and you fall in love with Him, and you find out that you're being shaped into His image. Well, it's just the most wonderful thing that can happen. If a church is functioning the way it ought to function, it's a thing of beauty, as people are becoming like the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, who are becoming transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And Romans chapter 8, verse 28, says, you are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. How beautiful is that? And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. What is that saying? It says we start off as baby Christians, and then we become a little older, a little more mature, till finally to mature manhood, where there's men and women of God who are strong in the Lord, strong in the faith, strong in the Word, strong in the Spirit, and they've reached mature manhood. That's an ongoing thing. I hope to keep on growing. Even in this next year, I'm anticipating growth in my life. And the law of the Spirit is that you only get what you see. If you see yourself growing in the Lord, it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. So then how can we explain it? If our goal is to be like Jesus, if that's what it's about, then let me ask a question. Why is it that churches are so often full of cranky people? Matter of fact, sometimes, maybe not this church, of course, but sometimes I think we could say that the people in the world are actually kinder and sweeter and nicer than God's children. They're easy. Yeah, amen. That's right. They're hard to deal with. They're cranky. A pastor friend of mine said that one thing he said about his church, he said, people get up and they leave my church, he said, but then they come back in about a year because they forgot why they were mad. And I think that can be true. But is that not an honest question to ask? How could it be that churches are often, not always, but often known to be hard to live with and difficult and cranky, especially? I think that's a good word. They don't know how to effectively love, even after years. Their kids can't relate to them, and they probably can't relate to them either. They have no joy and very little fruit. And here's the sad part, is that they have been going to church their whole life. Their whole life. And haven't grown. They haven't grown. That's a horror story. That if I spend my whole life moving towards Christ only to find out that I haven't grown at all. Could it be a worser indictment? Because sometimes there are pastors who haven't grown, and there are congregations that haven't grown. And I think the thing of it is that when you see these individuals that are cranky and mad half the time and upset at this, and they complain about that and complain about this, and it's the same ones, right? It's the same ones. And the thing of it is nobody in their church is surprised that they stay. Nobody's surprised about that. Cranky their whole life, year after year after year. And it's so common that nobody is even bothered by it. What about so-and-so? Oh, don't worry, he's mad, but he'll be over it. And we kind of cover that. Well, what about the, no, I know he's difficult, but yeah, it's just how he is. He'll be all right. We're not horrified by it. We just expect it. And that's just about how things are many, many times. So nobody is expecting them to be more like Jesus. What I'm saying, we need to rise and say that is the most important thing that needs to happen in this congregation, and any congregation for that matter, is that we are on a growth track and that we are becoming like the Lord and we are serious about it. And if brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so is critical and cranky, then we should call them on that. Said, brother, sister, you haven't grown. You're still critical. You were critical 5 years ago. Now you're critical now. Still. And so we're all the same. If I'm not growing, I'm going back. This is how it works. And so the wrong question, how many people do we have in a church? How many people? You know, I often get that. How big is your church? But that's the wrong question. How big is your church? The better question is, what are these people like? What are these people like? What am I like? What are you like? What is it? What stage are you in where it's time for you to step out and say, Lord, I'm dissatisfied with my progress. I should be further down the road than I am. You see, after people become Christians, their goal for them is to actually live like Christians. That would be honest, tender, kind. That we would be, you know, growing in so many different dimensions in our life. Transformation. And that is a very wonderful thing. That this involves, but what does this involve? It involves radical change. It involves transformation. See, I think we specialize so that people would know lots. But that's not really our goal. Our goal is not for them to be informed. Our goal is for them to be transformed. And that we would anticipate it. So this involves radical life change. If life change is not happening, then discipleship is not happening. And so we learn of Him. We take His yoke upon us. We learn of Him. Well, I think there are assumptions. That would be a good word. I think there are assumptions about how our lives are changed. How does that work? How is the process? How do we know if it's happening or not? Well, I think if you think of discipleship in terms of an equation, and so the old math would perhaps look like this. Salvation, in other words, a work of the Spirit done in regeneration. So you add the new birth, that's the starting point, and then you add time. I think that's crucial. There is a factor. There's not a complete change in one moment when they came forward and knelt there, even though maybe something fell off, maybe their drinking fell off, maybe their gambling thing fell off. I don't know all that might have happened. But it's salvation plus time. And over time, we begin to change. But with that comes individual application, and that equals growth. See, life change happens when you accept Jesus as your Savior. And for some, it's quite radical. It's quite changed. You know, one minute they were like this, the next minute they were tender and kind, and it's quite a thing to see. And I think that when it does happen, it can happen instantly. And the change is obvious. We say, boy, hasn't so-and-so changed? Yes, well, they gave their heart to Christ. They had a conversion experience. It wasn't just church. Now it was a real encounter they had with Jesus. And you can see it. But it's not in any way exhaustive. Maybe for a while, some of the habits will stop. Some of the attitudes change. Some of the character is affected. But we can't just be happy with that. We must take it further in our own hearts. Here's the question. Does life change naturally occur over time? Does it? Well, I've thought about that long and hard. This idea suggests that being a Christian will automatically translate into becoming Christ-like. And I don't think so. I think we need to challenge that. I don't think that's true. It's not automatically. Not automatically. In other words, you can be a Christian for a long time and haven't brought about change. I think so. I think that would be true. So in other words, somebody saved for 5 years has 5 years of growth and maturity, and those with 10 years of salvation will have 10 years of maturity. And I said, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. Someone else would say, growth and maturity will naturally occur just by showing up. So we have, we would break into groups, we do things together, just show up, and we'll probably change. Well, somewhat, but not enough. At least I don't think it's enough. So life change is achieved primarily by, number one, an act of the will. An act of the will. See, you have to want to make things different. I have to want it. I call that forth in my life. You call that forth in your life. I am deciding. You want to be a positive person? You have to decide that. Nobody can make you a positive person. You have to make that a decision. And there's many others just like that. So an act of the will, I'm willing it. I'm choosing it. I'm choosing to be obedient to the Lord. I'm choosing to be His hand extended. An act of the will. And then secondly, personal effort. It's not just a matter of sitting on a park bench, as it were, twiddling your thumbs, waiting for the Spirit to come on you. You'd be waiting a long time, I suspect. But on the other hand, if we decide to live a certain way, and I think that's what it means to be a learner. You decide to live a certain way. That I refuse to be a cranky old guy that's getting older and nobody can stand him. I come against that in Jesus' name, right? In my own life. I don't want that to be that way. Well, how do I? I will it. I choose it. I'm choosing obedience. I'm choosing sweetness. I'm sweetening tender. I'm choosing tenderness. And as a result of that, as the years go on, then there will be the fruit of that. You know that because not because I showed up, but because I chose it. This is what my heart's desire is. So decide to live a certain way. See what will happen. Expend the necessary effort. That's why it's not just a simple thing. It's actually growth is in some ways is complicated. But as you decide to live a certain way, and the effort, you know what? Well, for example, if you want to grow, I would suggest, and again, this is just, Marcel didn't know I was going to speak on this. I told him before Sunday, but he didn't know that before. I said, I'm speaking about change in different areas and in groups especially. And so he was thrilled with that's the direction we're going to go. Because we know that people who are in small groups grow faster than if they're not. It just is. I guess it's because somebody shares something and you hear that, and when you learn how to pray, and you know you're kind of touched by the whole thing, but it takes effort, right? That's what my point is. It takes effort. You got to show up for starters. It's like church life. It's not just a matter of believing. You say I have a church that I go to. you should be part of the church. So that you say, why? Well, say, I'd have to get up. Yes, you'd have to get up. You'd have to dress and shave if you're a guy. And you'd have to, you know, right? You have to, you say, well, now I got to go down to that church. Yes, I guess I better. Why would I do that? Why would we show up? And here's a good question. We've got 52 weeks in the year. Why would we show up Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? What would be the one reason we would do? Because we want to grow. Is that not why? Are you not here? Are you here just to fulfill your obligation? Or are you here because this is the fastest route for you to become more like the Lord? That God will speak. I can tell you, I can guarantee you this. There will never be a Sunday where we have a service where God didn't speak to you if you're open to that. Say, you know, I wasn't expecting anything. I was kind of reluctantly went to church and God spoke to me. Well, we shouldn't be surprised. We should anticipate that. That when we show up and we give some effort on our part, whenever you give effort, there's always, it comes back in so many wonderful ways. See, you get more than what you anticipate. So expend the necessary effort. We will challenge each other to rise to the occasion of being like Jesus. We call that forth. And as we do that, as we challenge each other, that we are disciples. We are disciples. That's why, see, we can't stay mad. We can't stay with unforgiveness. We are the children of God. And we are to grow. And whatever it takes to, if something has hindered my growth, now it's time to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I give this to you. I want to grow. I really do. I want to be part of something that's a winning team. And I know that the Lord will, as soon as you say yes, yes, Lord, yes, I say yes to you, then you'll know that the only barrier, is there any barrier? Oh, there's a barrier. The only barrier is your level of effort. I can remember when I was in Bible school, I really grew in Bible school. I didn't grow because it was necessarily Bible school. I grew because of what they did. And I can remember there'd be a prayer meeting on. Now, the prayer meeting was optional. You didn't have to go to it. But I found myself going to it. I took notes. I learned. And it was an amazing, as I look back on that, why was that so fruitful? It was fruitful because I exposed myself. I anticipated things to happen. And I can remember praying. I was praying for an opening, actually, when I got to my third year. Val and I were married by that point. And I can remember laying down and just praying and weeping and before the Lord, saying, Lord, will you open a door? But I'm just going to seek you anyway. I'm just going to seek you with all my heart. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know where this is going to lead me. But here I am. And next thing I know, I'm sitting down with the Reverend Lauren Pritchard, and he's asking me to come and work with him. Now, you know why that was? I sensed God is not going to ignore somebody laying on the floor weeping. I wasn't watching TV. I was weeping, wondering what God had in store for us. You see, and you effort. My point, effort. There's some effort that has to come. And so, how do we do it God's way? How do we grow and keep sustaining the growth so that we are, this year, we from now, so there's from September to Christmas, what could we believe for here? Wouldn't it be fantastic to say, you know, that was one of our best runs we ever had. And then we go into January, there'll be some other things. But just for example, you want your marriage to be strengthened? Say, I wish my marriage was. There's a marriage course. I mean, it's a marriage course, isn't it? It's everything in the minutes. In the notes. Now, you don't have to pray about your marriage. Show up. I can assure you that you'll hear something that will be beneficial. There's just something about that. We do it God's way. Hebrews 5 and 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. Oh, I can't take that. That's so painful. No, no, no more. No more milk. Let's get to the solid stuff. Let's move in the areas where we need to. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Let us go on to maturity. Right? Let us go on to maturity. That's where we need to be. Don't be discouraged. And here's the thing. Don't be discouraged by your lack of growth. Just decide, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I've decided to go forward. I'm going to go on. And so discipleship takes time, but it's about training more than it is about trying. We are training each other. What? How to have devotions. How to love your wife or your husband. How to do spiritual disciplines. There's all kinds of things. And what we do, we're training because that's how we grow the most. It's always better. You can't, someone said, well, can I do this alone? Yeah, you can. And sometimes maybe there's just exceptions, but it's always better to do it as a team effort. Did you hear me? It's always better to do it as a team effort, as a group of people. When we get together, whether it's at Weir, at Waves, or anywhere else, we come together, and it's about training. We learn how to do things. We hear how to do things. So it's a team effort. Our eternal destiny, though, is affected by it as we seek to grow more and more and more. Hebrews 5 and 12, not a question of time as much as intentionality. You may well be going along fairly well, but you can increase your growth quite significantly, I think, if you intend it to happen. Don't coast with it. Make it happen by being intentional. That's what discipleship is about. I think when most of God's people, when they come together, are quite sincere. I don't have a doubt about that. But they're not quite intentional enough. Be more intentional. So say, Lord, I'd like you to use me. Okay, then I want to press in with that. So God will use me. I'm more intentional. Before, well, when he wants to use me, he can let me know. Here's my number. No, you decide. You pray. In this case, it might be pray every day that God would use you. And as you pray every day that that would happen, you'd have a Proverbs 27 experience. As one man sharpens another man. If I knew that John Shaw, if he was seeking the Lord, that the Lord would use him more, then that inspires me. Inspires me, Lord, I want to grow too. And John was sharing how he was seeking the Lord. And I thought, wow, that's one man sharpens another. One woman sharpens another woman. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, let us consider how to stir one another up. Let's stir each other. Let's stimulate each other. And I'd love to be a great stimulus for you. And not because I'm a pastor, but just because we're in this together. And we're stirring up one another and encouraging one another. Repenting quickly when we fail, if there's areas that need to be forgiven, and repenting of crankiness, for starters, that would not be part of us. But to love and good deeds, stir one another up that way. And so, how does this work? Well, the power and presence of the Holy Spirit comes to live in our lives, and we yield to Him. That's what we yield to Him. Say, Lord, anoint me, fill me, touch me. And we allow ourselves to be trained in the practice of the disciplines, of devotions, breaking strongholds over our lives, how to pray for one another. In other words, to our life, we add people. And the reason we add people to our lives is because we need others. We need them. I need you. My greatest growth will occur probably in some kind of a setting, a small setting, so that we can share and pray for one another. And so what does the new math look like? If I need to add people, if we need others, then I need personal support. So we have an awareness, a consciousness that we need one another. And we support one another whenever we can. I need community. I need community. If it's going to happen, that's what I need. And God's quite willing to provide for that, I'm sure. So the new math is salvation, all right, born again, giving your heart to Christ, plus intentionality, I'm more focused, plus training, right, and whatever it would be. Watch the inserts. Say, oh, look at that. There's a conference on the prophetic. Oh, look at that. There's something on here. And you start saying, oh, so-and-so is teaching a class. That's kind of close to my heart. I think I'm going to make myself more intentional. Boy, I'm going to risk. You know, some people, they join a group. They don't really like groups, but they join it because they know that will help them. But they don't. If they had a way, their way, they would probably wouldn't. But it's because they know something good will probably happen to. So salvation plus intentionality plus training plus community equals change. And to root out anything that is a growth stopper, whatever it is, if anything's stopping me from becoming more focused, then I want to root that out. If there's things in your life that you see, get rid of them. Run the race. I don't know prophetically what time it is, but it must be close to 5 to 12, isn't it? There's something in the air about an urgency, I sense. It's not the time for coasting, it's the time for pushing in. And you don't want to waste your time on things, but if you find something, say, that could be really help me grow. Whatever it takes to help you grow. That's what we're committed to. That this, you know, we want it to be the best, not just this session, but the best of the best that can be. And as we pray for one another and stir one another up to love and good deeds, that we would grow, and we'll have to offer some training along the way so that you have something that's very solid. But as a result of that, that working and living in community is a very powerful, and that's what we want to be doing. That's the goal, that's the plan. So Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for speaking to us here. I pray that you'll take us from glory to glory, step to step. In your precious name, amen. Let's take a couple of minutes. We still have a few moments here. Who would like to just to respond? What's God saying to you? That you and maybe not just this morning. It wasn't just this morning he spoke to you, but maybe that you just felt that there was the Lord has been speaking to you about this thing of going on. Let us go on to maturity. That's theologically speaking. Thank you, I think. Anybody else? You're whacking each other between the ears. Anybody else? Yet you haven't felt overwhelmed by it. You haven't. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, good. Thank you. A couple more. Yes. And again, if we're a bit afraid of something, when we go with somebody else, you process it together. It's a great thing. Anybody else? Yes. Yes. Yeah. Once you focused. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, one more. Last one. And on that note, that's an excellent word. Thank you. The Lord bless you for being here this morning. Join us on the patio if you can. It's a beautiful sunny morning, so make an effort to join with us on the patio. God bless you.